Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away
when the sorrows of this life have grown. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away.
Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by.
Good morning. You are listening to Highly Favored and Heaven Bound, brought to you from Grace Baptist Church of Hurlock, Maryland. I'm Bill Windsor.
And I'm Dave Talley, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Thank you, Mr. Bill. Today's radio program will be part two of a sermon that we began last week on this program in a sermon series on the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Last week, you heard the first part of the first sermon in this five-part series. The title of the sermon is Ready for the Rapture. So take your Bible if you've got one, and let's continue our study of Revelation chapter 1 through 3 as I continue to try to address this question: Are you ready for the rapture? See, we're not saved based upon the greatness of our repentance or the greatness of our faith. We're saved based upon the greatness of His promise and the work He did at Calvary. If I go to hell, I'll go to hell hanging on to Jesus. Amen? And I ain't gonna go to hell hanging on to Jesus. So, are you ready for the rapture? If you're saved and you know you're saved, you're ready for the rapture. You're ready for the rapture. Number two, don't just know that you know Christ. You want to be ready for the rapture? Don't just know that you know Christ. And by the way, that's the message to the Laodiceans. That's the message to the church in Sardis. You have a name that you're alive, but you're actually dead. You need to go back to where it used to be, right? The church of Laodicea. I'm standing at the door, I'm knocking. If any man in this church will open the door, I'll come in, right? So there's people who are within Christendom. There are people who are members of churches, but they're not born again. They've never received Christ as their Savior, right? So make sure that you're saved. Know that you know Christ. Know Christ and know that you know Christ. And number two, believe the promises about Christ's return. Now, maybe you're not aware of this, and if you're not, God bless you. I'm happy for you, but I certainly am. There's a group of Christians right now that think they're so cool. I mean, they are woke beyond woke. And they make fun of those of us who believe the rapture. They belittle us. They talk down to us like we're a bunch of imbeciles or something. Well, I'm an imbecile. I don't have any doubt about that. But that does not discount the promises of God's word. Now, I want you to listen to these two passages. Tell me if you believe in the rapture or not. These two passages describe what we call the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, listen carefully, verse 13 through 18. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, I don't want you to be in the dark concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, who are saved. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, their spirits. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. He's bringing them with him, but they're rising. Their bodies are rising. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't care if you like the word rapture or not. If you don't, throw it out. But take this verse. He said, I'm coming back. I'm going to raise dead saints to life. And then all the saints, including those who have just been raised and those who are still alive when I come, I'm going to take them all to be with me forever. You call it the rapture, you call it whatever you want to. That's what's happening. Otherwise, God's a liar, and you're an absolute fool for being here in church. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And by the way, that was all positive. Man, that was all just cheerful, good stuff. Some will say, well, I believe in the rapture, but I believe it's going to happen at the second coming. You know, I've studied the second coming in the scriptures quite a bit. The second coming doesn't sound like that. The second coming is wrath and judgment and death and destruction and horror. And all eyes seeing him as he pours out his Father's wrath upon the planet. This, and we're fixing to read it in 1 Corinthians 15, is all good. It's all hope. It's all positive. And it's all fast. And it's done. Doesn't sound like the second coming. If you want to make the rapture phase one of the second coming in your theological framework, fine. But don't say it's the same thing, because it ain't the same thing. And I believe there's plenty of evidence to prove that there's a separation of 7 years between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. It shouldn't surprise us, by the way, in the Old Testament, the prophets saw the advent of the Messiah, but they didn't realize it was separated by tons of time. Now we know that it is. We know the first advent, right? Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and the Ascension, that's first advent. And we know the second advent, it hasn't happened yet. Well, it's 2,000 years has passed so far. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery, something that's been hidden at certain periods of time and from some people. We will not all sleep. Not all believers are going to die. Some of us, like Enoch, will escape death. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just metaphorical victory. This is not just spiritual victory. This isn't even just victory over, you know, temptation or victory over sin or victory over the world. This is victory over death itself, over disease, over being rotten in a grave. It's victory over everything. It's complete victory at the rapture. You want to be ready for the rapture? Know Christ and know that you know Christ and believe the promises about his return. How can you be ready for something if you don't even believe it's going to happen? Number three, work for the spiritual harvest that is coming. The Bible says that we are co-laborers together with Christ in a harvest of souls. Paul said, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. Well, when will the harvest be finished? Well, for the church, it's finished at the rapture. So how do we work for the spiritual harvest that is coming? I believe all these truths you can find in Revelation 1, 2, and 3. But I want to take you to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. The first thing you need to do in working for the spiritual harvest that is coming is you need to be ready to harvest. You need to be ready to harvest. That is, be pure. Listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're the sons of God already. We're sons and daughters of God. We're God's children already. Loved ones, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he appears, where's he going to appear? according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. In the air, in the clouds. When he appears, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. And every man who has this hope in Christ, in him, purifies himself even as Christ is pure. Pursue holiness in anticipation of the rapture. We read in the scriptures, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? Blessed are those who are watching when he comes. So if we truly believe that Jesus could come today, I don't remember who the preacher was. I think it was David Jeremiah. I follow a lot of preachers on social media. But for a long time, whoever this preacher was, every day he would tweet the same thing. Every day on Twitter. Could be today. That was it. That was the whole tweet. Could be today. And he was right. There are signs, there are seasons, there are even numbers in the Bible that lead up to the second coming of Christ when he establishes his kingdom on the earth, but there are no signs for the rapture. It could have happened before, it could happen today, it could happen anytime. It is God's calling upon us simply to be ready. So if Jesus were to come today, are we ready in that we are purifying ourselves in anticipation of his arrival? My house is fairly clean, but Seth would tell you it's got a lot of stuff in it. It's got too much stuff in it, right, Seth? That's what he was saying yesterday. Too much stuff. If Jesus himself in the flesh was going to come see me on Wednesday of this week, man, I'd clean that house. I mean, it's clean. It smells nice. But, buddy, I'd throw a bunch of stuff away. That house would be spick and span, which I think is appropriate. But his coming is so much more important. And the temple, which is our body, our mind, our mouth, is so much more important than the parsonage over there. And so if you're truly anticipating his coming, if I'm truly anticipating his coming, it will infect us. It will affect how we think, what we say, how we live. If we're truly looking for him to come and praying for him to come, it will impact our decisions. We'll be like, well, I don't want to be doing that when he comes. How embarrassing would that be? Well, I guess I shouldn't do it at all then, because he could come today. Those who have this hope, not a threat, this hope in themselves purifies himself or herself just as Jesus is pure. Work for the spiritual harvest that is coming. Be ready to go into the harvest. Pursue holiness. Doctors and nurses, I don't actually know what I'm talking about. Just watch TV shows about it, you know. But doctors and nurses, what do? They go into the scrub room or whatever it's called, and they wash their hands and they wash their arms, and then they drip their drops off their elbow. Is that right? Somebody nod at me if I'm getting that right. So the germs won't be on their fingertips or something like that. They do it on TV anyway. But the point is, they're not supposed to go in there with dirty hands, right? You're going to go do this job, clean up. You want to serve in the harvest? Your spiritual combine, your spiritual harvester can't be all clogged with hog weeds and rats. Clean that thing out. Pursue holiness in preparation for the rapture. And pursue service and souls. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It's aimed at all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Write it down, Titus 2:13. Look for the blessed hope. Look for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is an incredibly practical message. Do you know you're saved? Do you know for sure that you're saved? If not, get that straight. Do you believe that he's coming back? He said he's coming back. Do you believe what he said or don't you? He's coming back. And are you working for the harvest? Be holy, be serving, and be sharing. Tell people about Jesus. Some of you are like, well, once I get all my, you know, ducks in a row with my theology and I get it all figured out, then I'll start talking about it. Then you won't ever start talking about it. Well, when I get all my life straight, you know, I got some junk in my life. When I get all that figured out and get all that straight, then I'll start telling people about Jesus. Then you won't ever tell people about Jesus. Let me challenge you with something that really sounds off the wall. Let's suppose you are the worst Christian in our church. Let's suppose you're the worst Christian in our country. True Christian, true saint, true believer, but just a horrible one. Let's suppose you're the worst Christian that's ever lived. How can you witness for Jesus? Well, certainly you should purify yourself, but can God use your lousy life to somehow point people to him? The answer is yes. Watch this. Let's say you have a horrible reputation among the lost people, but you're a true believer. You're like, you know, I'm worried. Jesus could come and they don't know him. They will die and go to hell. I don't want that. So I got to tell them. So you're going to wait till you're cleaned up, right? You're going to wait till your life's perfect? Don't do that. Tell them about Jesus now. And you know what they'll say? Man, you're as bad as I am. I've heard what you say. I've seen what you do. You ain't no better than me. And you can bow your head and say, you know what? You're right. I need a lot of work. But you know what I know? Jesus loves me. And he has forgiven me. And if he'll forgive me, as horrible as I am, he'll forgive you too. You think God could use that? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'm not promoting sin. I'm not saying, hey, y'all be as awful as you can so you can be effective witnesses. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying to be ready for the rapture, we share about Jesus. No matter whether we're doing great or whether we're just falling over ourselves like most of us are constantly. Work for the spiritual harvest that is coming by pursuing holiness, pursuing service and souls. Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn there, we'll close with this. Luke chapter 12, verse 31, the people he was talking to were worried about, you know, what they would eat and what they would wear if they followed Jesus. He said, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So sell what you have and give to the poor. Provide yourselves bags that won't wax old, treasures in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. Sounds a lot like his message to Laodicea. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about. Put on your spiritual belt here, and your lights burning, and yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say unto you that he will gird himself. This is a parable, but it's representing Christ. He will gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he comes in the second watch or comes in the third watch and finds them ready, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ye ready also, for the Son of Man comes in an hour when you think not. Now some of you who are really knowledgeable about the scripture, you may say, that's not to the church, that's to Israel. And you know what? You're right. You might say, that's not about the rapture. That's about the second coming. And you're right. But the Spirit knew you would say that. So watch what happens next in this text. Peter said unto him, Lord, are you speaking this parable unto us or to everybody? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maiden servants and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him and in an hour when he is not aware and will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Jesus still answering Peter. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required, and of whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. His answer to Peter is, this is not just for you Jewish boys. This is for everybody. This is even for unbelievers. This is for everybody. And those who do not know the Lord's will, they're not aware of the gospel, they're still going to get beaten. But to whom much is given, much is required. So what have we been given? What have you been given? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Including the truth that he's coming back to rescue us. Good news. The book of Revelation should not make you chew your fingernails. The book of Revelation should not make you stay up at night going, oh my goodness, I'm worried, sick, that I'm going to end up having to go through all that stuff. Now, if you're doing it because you're concerned for the lost souls out there, good job. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I've heard believers say, I can't pray for the rapture. I've still got a mom or a sister or a brother or a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. I get you. I'm with you. God actually agrees. Peter shares that with us when he says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the only reason Jesus hasn't already come back, because God loves your lost loved ones more than you do. But setting that aside, just as it relates to those of us who are God's children, we should be looking forward eagerly to Christ's return. Because it is all positive. It's all good. We should be eagerly praying like the Apostle John did at the end of the book of Revelation. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. What are we going to do with all this? Well, action step for today. By God's grace, I will live each day expectantly, looking for, watching for, working for, ready for Christ's return. It's going to take some significant intentionality for you and me to live every day aware Jesus could come today and actually acting in a way as if he really could come today and I want him to come today. Chances are very few of us live our lives with that kind of urgency and intentionality. But when Jesus comes, I don't want it to be a shock to my system. I want to be ready to roll. Wouldn't it be great if you just got through praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh Lord, the rapture today would be great. And boom, it happened. And you'd be like, wow, it happened. I just asked for this. Wouldn't that be cool? Be awesome. Be awesome in God's sight. Blessed are those that he finds watching when he comes. I want to close with the story of Enoch. I'm going to take some literary license and use a description an old preacher gave years and years ago when I was just a kid. You know the story of Enoch, right? Genealogies in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. I know y'all love reading the genealogies. Adam lived so many years, and he begat a son in his own image and likeness, and he named him Seth. And Adam lived after he begat Seth so many years, and he begat sons and daughters, and Adam died. And Seth lived so many years, and he begat a son. I think his name was Enos. And he lived so many years after he begat Enos. And I've read the begats a few times. And he lived so many years after he begat Enos, and he died. And Enos lived so many years, and it goes on down until the seventh guy in the list, Enoch. And Enoch lived so many years, and he begat a son, and tells what his son's name is. I think it's Methuselah, I'm not sure. And Enoch begat a son. And then it says, and Enoch lived so many years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. The rest of it said they died, but not Enoch. He didn't see death. The old preacher that used to describe this said one day, first of all, you got to realize Enoch didn't start walking with God that day. You with me? It's not like he lived his whole life and then one day he's like, I'm going to walk with God. And that day God took him. Certainly it could have happened, but that's not the way it's described in Scripture. And the old preacher said, one day Enoch was out walking with God. He'd been walking with God for a long time. And he was talking with God and he was walking with God. And God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't you come home with me today? I love that description. And that's the way I would love for the rapture to be. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says there are people who have faith in God. Listen to me. There are people who have faith in God who die young because God looks down and says, the world is not worthy of their presence. Isn't that amazing? To walk with God and to be so familiar and intimate fellowship with Him that there would be no great transition when we enter into His presence. That's the goal. Something only God can produce in us. I've met a few saints this way. I've met a few saints that I was like, they're just different than the rest of us. They seem to be truly repulsed, not just by the sin in the world, but by the sin in their own life. Truly repulsed by it. Truly in love with Jesus. Truly attracted to Him. Truly wanting to please Him and to walk with Him.
Thank you for listening today. I trust that you received a blessing from God's Word. If you would like to contact us here at Grace Baptist Church, feel free to call us at 410-943-3701, or you can write us at Post Office Box 162, Herlock, Maryland, 21643. If you would like to come to visit us, you can find us at 510 North Main Street, right here in Herlock, Maryland. I do hope that you will come to worship the Lord with us. Again, thanks for listening to our program, Highly Favored and Heaven Bound. I hope you will listen again next week as we look at the Scriptures once again. Until then, I'm Bill Windsor speaking for Pastor Talley and all of us here at Grace Baptist Church. May God richly bless you and have a great week.
Fly away.